few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud,
John Emmett,
and David Lauer.
And this is the show where we talk about our loves, our hates, and our indifferences. But before we do any of that, we like to talk about old topics in a segment we call Deja Few. I will go first. It's really quick, and I was really kicking myself for missing this. We were talking about time and like how, you know, we should really have 13 months or something like that. Remember that conversation?
Yeah. I do remember it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I was like, there's got to be some culture that has 13 months in it. And
I see where this is going.
Yeah. My, the Ho-Chunks, my own tribe, we think it, there should be 13 months, you know, there's a whole thing. They're like, you know, on the turtle's back, the shell, there's 13 parts, 13 moons, 13 months. I'm like, oh, well, that's got to be real.
Yeah,
but yeah,
cool.
I just wanted to bring that up. So I think, weren't we kind of saying 13 months actually makes more sense, right?
Yeah, it comes way closer to being equally divisible by the
Sweet.
Year.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. All right. Anyone else?
I mean, month comes from the word moon, right? So, like, I don't know how they messed it up.
Moon?
Yeah. What moon is it?
What are you talking about? What moon? Oh my
All
god!
Right. My deja vu has to do with self checkout lanes. The worst, so the best thing is that they exist. The worst thing is when they're all closed inexplicably. And I've been running into this at Targets of various sorts, that like I'll go there like early in the morning, and either they'll all be closed and then there'll just be like a huge line at the one checkout person who's open, or like I was at one and there was 12 self-checkouts and only three of them were open, and there was just a gigantic line. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, why?
Maybe it's a power
thing.
I
saw a TikTok on this. They were talking about Walmart specifically, but it might be the same thing with Target, that they were just having so much. The whole reason they wanted the self-checkouts was to save money on cashiers and not pay people to do that for a job. But the problem is they're saving money on cashiers, but then they're losing so much money in theft that so many people are stealing stuff in the self-checkout lanes, that now apparently Walmart has a plan where they're going to start. You have to have like Walmart Plus, like a subscription service, in order to use the self-checkouts. Otherwise, you're going to have to go to the old-fashioned cashiers and do it that way. And they want to make it like a bougie thing to like be able to go through self-checkouts.
Bougie.
Because they want to limit the amount of people because there's so much theft. I don't know.
Oh, man. I remember when the grocery stores here first introduced it, they would like weigh your bagging area. And like it was super sensitive. Like if it was like off by like an ounce, it would be like unidentified item in bagging area, and then you'd have to have like someone come over and like look at it, and like it was so obnoxious. And I guess they toned that down enough now to the point where people are getting away with stealing things.
Well, you know what, if that does happen with like you gotta carry a card, I will carry that card. I fucking love self-checkouts as established.
Yeah, I went grocery shopping on a Sunday like around noon. It was like the worst idea I've ever had in my life because it was so busy in there, but I had like a cart of groceries, so I couldn't get like I was in the self-checkout lanes, but like the long self-checkout lanes, and there were so many people there. And I just picked the wrong lane, and I'm just waiting on this lady, this old lady who's trying to do it. And it's, I mean, I should have brought like a lawn chair and just like made a seat there, because I was like, man, I got so much time. In fact, I forgot my wallet in my truck. And I just told the people in front of me, like, hey, I'm going to run out to my truck and grab my wallet. I'm like, I'm pretty sure like I'll be back in time. I just slowly walked to my truck and slowly walked back. Didn't miss a thing. She had scanned like 5 items in that time. Oh, no. It was just so painstakingly slow. It's like you got to have enough of these lanes open so there's not a line of 6 or 7 people in every one.
Are we done with the fuse, the Dejas?
I have one more. And it's almost like a number two because it's about a number two. Oh, it's about the Japanese toilet seats.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I don't want to like get into the gory details, but I got one. And like it's good, I think. Like I don't love it, but it's kind of like I've only been using it for like a week and a half or something. And the bidet is nice, but I feel like it's kind of like it's something that's nice, like in case of emergency, break the glass. Like you don't always need a bidet. You know, sometimes it's rather clean and you're fine. But in case of an emergency, it's great to have as a backup plan because like sometimes you really need it.
So like, are you basically trying to say the water pressure should be lowered, perhaps?
Perhaps, because it seems I put it on the lowest setting and it's very high pressure. And if you're sitting on there wrong and you take it, it's like a water enema and you're like, whoa, okay, too much.
Oh, wow.
Or just right, perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like I used to have like a poop anywhere policy where, you know, like some people don't like pooping in public restrooms and stuff. That never bothered me. But now I don't really like if I have to poop somewhere outside of my own house with my own fancy toilet, I'm kind of not happy about it.
Oh, my God. All right.
I can't really like pick and choose. If duty calls. Like...
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to like hold it in and go home or anything, but you know,
you're just going to be crossing your arms the whole time you're taking a poop. Nope. Don't like it. Nope.
Not a fan.
Oh my gosh. All right. Should we get the show started?
Actually, before we do, I wanted to plug the new website, www.afewgoldilockbears.com. For anybody who's watching us on YouTube but would prefer to have us in an audio only podcast format, there's links to all the podcast player apps on the website. So your Apple Podcasts, your Google Podcasts, your others.
That's awesome. And once again, I am reminded how weird the title is. Because I'm like, that's a weird website title.
Hey, at least it was easy to register because it was not taken.
Not even a few Goldilocks bears?
You know, that one I didn't check. Oh, yeah, we should probably get all the register all the like sound alikes or you know like the ones that people will accidentally type in.
Oh right, yeah, that's gonna be a thing, huh?
Get a few Goldilocks bears sucks.com to you know preempt our detractors.
We need listeners before bothering about detractors. All right, let's get this show started. Someone needs to start who hasn't in a while. Not me, though. I started last time.
I can start.
All right.
I'm just going to get like my most boring one out of the way. It's my love. I love having like my coworkers. I love working with people that I'm like actually friends with, that I like them. I just switched like positions at work in January and I was working overnights where I was just working by myself, but now I'm working, in like a department where there's like 4 people. I'm like one of 4 people and I genuinely like all of them. And it seems like a miracle because like, it's very rare that you have coworkers that you actually like and enjoy being around. And like, we work well as a group. We're all like super friendly. We all have like a good sense of humor. You can all like bullshit with each other and give each other a hard time. Like nobody has ever gotten like upset or angry at each other. I'm like, it's such like a good like work group, friend group that I just recognize that I'm like, oh, this is actually like something special because this is very rare. I've only had it maybe like one other time or two other times in my life. But then like ultimately, you know, like people leave their job or they quit and they move on to something else. And then you get somebody new and it, you know, the vibe is all off and then it kind of sucks. And it's like, ah, and then there's people talking shit behind each other's back and, you know, like the more normal work environments. So I recognize that it's very rare and I'm very happy about it. And I love the fact that I'm in like a good spot right now.
Sweet. What about you, John?
Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty lucky with, all the jobs I've had, at least as a professional, as getting along with everyone pretty well. I don't know what it has to do because I've always had like techie computery jobs. So I'm just working with a bunch of other computer nerds and we'll tend to have a lot of the same interests and stuff. And, you know, our chat application at the company. So even people beyond my team, there's like a bunch of fun, like non-work related chat rooms and stuff that you can just talk about whatever, which is great. I've heard people like make a point not to become friends with their work colleagues and stuff, and I always thought that was weird. Like, you know, I keep my professional life and my personal life separate. Like, I don't get that at all. Like, I think it's great if you have strong friendships with the people you work with.
So you don't like the gyms of the world?
Yeah, I was actually kind of thinking about that. Yeah.
I've had shitty coworkers, but then I've also met some awesome ones, and we're friends to this day, you know, so that's always cool. I tend to want to get along with people, but then yeah, you got those coworkers who are just like, they're instantly like plotting against you just because they're like, I don't need to deal with this fucking bright-eyed, bushy-tailed motherfucker, you know, like I'm fucking jaded and shit, you know? So I have to deal with a lot of that stuff. But yeah, when you meet some people, you guys click, it's cool. And, you know, probably because we're into the same, you know, helping people, work with the cognitively disabled. At least I've been doing that for the past 12 years, I don't know. And so there's common interests, like you know, with you in the technology, John. But Dave, in the medical field, you would think they were all saints, right?
My coworkers are.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it's bullshit. Like assholes could have any job. That's why I've met plenty doing what I do too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's everybody is like totally different and like faking their personality when they're around a patient. Like almost everybody.
I hate that.
Like
they
suddenly like their voice changes, they act different. Like I try to make it a point where I act like myself to the patients. But a lot of people, they get a different voice and they kind of talk to them like they're little kids and have like a weird voice, and I'm like, they're not a little kid, they're like 80 years old, like stop baby talking them. Like what is happening here?
Hold on though, like
you're an adult.
Is it do you disagree with being that fake, or is it because you can't do the voices, Dave?
I don't know.
give us a fake voice.
I'm not giving you a fake voice. I don't have one. Oh, maybe I'll work on one. Yeah. If I can establish one, I'll start using it.
Yeah, but you can't do the Dark Knight like, hello, I'm...
Yeah. See, like, what's fun to do at work is if, like, your coworker walks in at the same time, you'll be like, oh, this is my boss, Sean. Yeah, he's my boss. But he's not my boss. But then you just role play it and you'll be like, all right, how have they been doing? They've been doing okay? I got his review coming up, you know?
That's great. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like when I worked in tech support, when I'd get on the phone with the customer, I would kind of code switch and, you know, I'm not going to talk to those rando people the same way I'm going to talk to my buddies, you know?
So you do a voice, John?
Yeah. And then, like, especially, like, you know, just made me think of, like, we'd have international people, so people would call in who speak English as a second language, so I would definitely, like, change and use, like, simpler words and talk slower and stuff, just, you know, to try and not, because, like, that's how I would want someone to talk to me if they were speaking my second language, you know?
You're like, you sound funny.
Slower and louder, obviously.
Well, oh man, remember I mentioned when I was a customer service and, you know, those fucking Eastern, the Eastern.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, I probably did a whole fucking voice for that. But outside of that, no. Like, I hated when, you know, a client would get visited by their parents and all of a sudden the real fucking fake workers would be like, oh, come here, Dan. Oh my God, buddy. You know, like treating the client like he never fucking treats them ever, you know, until then. And he's like hugging them and is all the super positive shit. And he's the complete opposite of that. I've seen that plenty of times. That is so annoying. Ugh, gross. All right. Well, should we change our voice topic? Like, we, yeah. You know what? Next, from now on, I say segue challenge. That means time to move out of the topic, but then you guys got to come up with a fucking segue. Mm-hmm. Segue challenge.
Let's befriend our next coworker of a topic.
All right. Who wants to go next? John, you want to go?
Sure. I'll do my indifference, which is where you sit in a movie theater or really anything like that. Like, I just kind of feel like the screen is gigantic. Like, the noises are loud. Like, there's not really going to be like a bad seat in the place. I know some people who are like, you know, like, oh, we got to get there early, or, you know, pre sign up for a seat. We need to sit here because, you know, you're not tilting your head back too far and you're centralized for the left and right audio channels and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I certainly am not attuned enough to notice anything with the audio like that. And yeah, none of the seats are that bad. It's not going to bother me at all.
I completely disagree. I cannot sit in that very front row. Why does that exist? Like, those, especially the second row. The second row is also way too close. I don't know. I'm not sure who sits there on purpose. Usually it's the fucking late seats. You got to sit up there, you know? But I agree with being in the center. Like, if, you know, if you go there early and you're like, oh, no one's dead eye in the center for optical views and audio and shit, for sure, I'll sit there. But overall, if it's like crowded, being in the back is kind of nice. I kind of like that. I don't know. You know, if you're with a lady or a man or whatever, you know, if you want a neck, as they say.
Engage in some heavy petting.
Yes. You can do that back there. So yeah, that's how I feel about it. I am kind of picky about where I sit, but not too bad.
Yeah, I'm pretty picky. Like, when I've pre-bought like tickets to like go to a nice theater, like, I want like, okay, this one's like center or a little bit off of center. I don't like it way on the left side or way on the right side. It depends on like the setup. If it's just like a traditional movie theater, yeah, I don't want anything on that front floor where it's just flat. And then, like, once it's angled up, like, anything that's angled up, I'm good. Like, I can sit anywhere. But generally my position that I take, it's kind of like picking a urinal in a bathroom where it's just like, I just want to be far away from other people. So if there's like, you know, if I see a row and it's empty, I'm like, okay, I'm going over there. And I don't want to sit like right on the aisle. Like, my bladder is pretty strong. I usually don't have to get up and go to the bathroom in a movie. So I'm not worried about like, oh, I'm going to have to leave and come back. So like, I'll sit in the middle or in the far end. Like, I don't care. But I don't want to be up front.
I agree with you about like the number one thing I think about, never cared before, but now post COVID that I think about is, you know, like, I'm just going to space myself out from these other disgusting humans.
Right. Yeah. And especially like younger kids, if there's any younger kids or like teenagers, people that you think are going to talk a lot or be on their phones and have their phone really bright. So that could be a younger person, or it could be like an older boomer who doesn't know how to turn the brightness down on their phone.
Or doesn't know how to not be on their phone in a movie theater, which is sadly not uncommon.
This is also a deja vu to the Seinfeld. Remember when Kramer and Jerry are sitting right next to each other, and Jerry's like, "What are you doing? Scoot over." He's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "If we were watching a show at my place, would you sit right next to me on the couch?" He's like, "I guess not." how do you guys feel about that? Have you ever done that?
Yeah, with a buddy, like, if there's enough space where, you know, not every seat in the movie theater is full or whatever. We'll spread out a little bit.
No, I've never done that.
Gotta leave like, a seat in the middle for Jesus.
Like, if I want to lean over and whisper something and like crack jokes about the movie, like if the movie sucks and we're just going to end up like cracking jokes at it, I don't want to like take those like armrests right in the ribs as I'm leaning over to like whisper something. So, you know, gotta sit close.
Yeah, I'm more of a sit close guy. I remember showing up with someone and they just like went up like so many rows and sat there instead. I'm like, okay. That wasn't a date or anything, thank God. Oh my God. Yeah,
she was
should we
sitting by some other guy that she seemed to know? It was really weird.
Segway challenge. Looks like the bellboy spotted us sneaking into this theater.
Let's identify our closest exits and remove ourselves from the theater.
Oh, that's good. All right. Next topic. Let's go with my indifference, and that's to theme parks. Been to Six Flags a handful of times, been in Noah's Ark a handful of times, and there's some cool stuff, fucking roller coasters. I don't know how you guys feel about them, but they can be quite thrilling. But everyone should know that it's a long wait time to get to the roller coaster, and the roller coaster is done like that. And you're like, oh my God, that's great. Let's go wait in another long ass fucking line. And it's just that it's really expensive. And it's overstimulating for me after a while. After like 2 hours, I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with this fucking place. Everywhere you look, there's people, you know? And I don't really like crowds. And so that's weird. And then it's also really weird, like 6 hours later, running into someone that you saw once at another ride. And you're like, did we connect over that? No. So it's just, I don't know. Overstimulation. That's what I remember is the first thing that hits me where I'm like, oh my God, there's so many fucking people everywhere you fucking look. So how do you guys feel about it?
I definitely have fond memories of theme parks like Noah's Ark, Six Flags and stuff as a kid. I guess I'm indifferent to them because I can only think of like two that I've been to since I've been 20. So, you know, it's definitely not a regular thing. Although I have been thinking it'd be fun to go to Noah's Ark again, but maybe it would not be. I'm not sure. Just get sunburned and waiting in line and stuff. The biggest thing I kind of noticed the most recent time I went to Valley Fair in the Minnesota was that like the rides, if they're not smooth, and they're kind of jerky, they like hurt my frail aging body. I'm like, oh, this wasn't fun. Like, now my back's gonna hurt for a week or whatever. Like, I you know, you bounce back from that stuff when you're young. You don't even notice it.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I had something like that in the Wisconsin Dells on like, it was like Mount Olympus or like one of those Pegasus, one of those wooden roller coasters where it just dipped down really fast and then it goes up and then down really fast. And I just like whiplash. And I think I got a concussion. It was the one time in my life I think I actually had a concussion, because I had a headache. Felt like I wanted to throw up, and I just had a headache for the rest of the day. Like the entire drive home, I felt like crap, and I was just like, oh man, I just felt like garbage. But like I loved them when I was a kid. It was so much fun. Like my grandma would take us to like Family Land or there was another one. But yeah, it was like Noah's Ark, and she would drop us off there with our aunt who was like 16 or 17. And we were just like 10 years old, me and my sisters. And we would just, our grandma would drop us off there for like 5 hours, you know, from 11 to 4. And then we would just run around and do all the rides. It was like the funnest thing ever. And our grandma would give us like $20 each, which was like $1 million, you know, in 1996. It was tons of fun. But yeah, as an adult, it just doesn't hit the same anymore, as the kids would say.
You've made like 3 references to that Gen Z slang so far this episode. You don't even know it.
I got it on the mind.
Vince, what about the themey part of theme parks? So like, you know, the characters and stuff walking around.
Oh, I've never, I'm like, no, that's not the character. There's someone being paid and probably, you know, out back smoking a cigarette. Like, I fucking hate this job. You know what I mean? So it's just so weird. I'm like, I don't see your face. I don't know what you look like. You could be a guy, you could be a girl. It shouldn't matter. But like, it is just weird. It's almost like clowns, except furry. Like, so I've never gotten into that. I have wondered if I would enjoy Disneyland, but I keep thinking of the waiting and the overstimulation of people every fucking where. Yeah. Segway challenge. Segway challenge.
All right, let's take a fast pass onto the next topic.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Terrific. And go ahead, Dave. I believe you're next.
I hate Gen Z slang terms.
Sure you do.
I do, because so like we have language as a construct. We have these words, but then every generation, this is not just Gen Z, is just the target of my wrath because they're the current generation that is making all these slang words. But like over hundreds of years and every decade, more slang words come out. And then it just gets added into the vernacular and people just start using it, and it like dilutes language over time. And pretty soon, like in the future, like the kids today, once they get older and they're, you know, 40 and 50 and 60, they're gonna be like, oh, those Gen Alphas and their stupid slang words they use. So I wrote some notes of some of my least favorite slang terms. See if I can find them here.
I did as well. I wrote some that I wanted to comment on.
All right. So the Gen Z slang terms that I dislike, I have like 10 of them here. Bet. And it means yes, okay, or it's on. That one really gets me. Body count. They like people will say that for like how many people they've slept with. Bussin. Like this is bussin. Like meaning something's great or it's like good food. Cap, like to lie, and then like no cap means like it's not a lie, it's the truth. Gaslighting. I actually like gaslighting. I think that's a good slang term.
Yeah, it's like also when you're manipulating from like the 1940s in an argument. It's based on like, isn't it like a 1940 book or something?
Film too.
Yeah, it's just gotten popularized recently, but another one is op, which is like short for opposition. or like an opponent, like who's your op? And it's like, yeah, it's my parents and my teachers. They're, or, you know, if, or like Batman has Joker, that's his op.
I thought it was opportunity, like they use in the sales world.
Well, I thought I saw it in writing, and I thought they were referencing video game overpowered. Wow. Okay.
Well, like OP is overpowered.
Right.
Yeah. Op is OPP. So.
OPP. Okay. Oh.
Yeah. I got a couple more words here. Riz, which is like someone's charm or like seduction skills. And Riz is short for charisma. But like, you can, if somebody says Riz, like I asked them, I'm like, you mean charisma? And they're like, no, I don't mean charisma. I mean Riz. And I'm like, it's literally short for charisma. That's what you mean. And they're like, no. Then there's like slay, to do something well. It's, you know, oh man, you really slayed that. Or slaps, like, man, that music slaps. I don't know. Just all of these things, they annoy me. Like, some of them are fine, but then some of them are just like, I don't know. It just bugs me. And it's just like the old man yelling at the cloud or something. Like,
hey, stop yelling at me.
Part of getting old.
I'm trying my best. Okay, well, a lot of those things are abbreviations, and I personally love to abbreve. my friends and I would always like say, like, you know, instead of napkins, you know, hand me a nap, or naps when you're eating noodles, nudes. <You know>? I just love to abbreviate shit. So most of the slang, I don't really mind. It is weird with the Riz, because it sounds so unappealing. Riz, you know, like charisma is charismatic to say. It looks nice. It's a nice word. So that's so bizarre. I wanted to address, what did you use? Oh, bougie. Yeah, which is fancy. But hasn't bougie been around for fucking ever? So is it just experiencing a comeback?
Yeah,
I don't know. So. I've never not heard bougie.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it was kind of popularized like 20 years ago, like with like Destiny's Child and TLC. I feel like they had some lyrics that were kind of bougie. Like, it was being said back then, so it was 20 years now.
One other slang word where I'm like, oh, did it need a name? I thought it was just whatever. Ghosting, where someone just doesn't respond to your texts and calls and all that shit, right? They disappear. And I'm like, I didn't realize that needed a word for it. I thought it was just being rude. But I'm like... Yeah. So that's just more common because I guess how long has text been? It's been like 20 years, or I mean, it's been longer, I'm sure. But like, I didn't start texting until like maybe 20 years ago. So yeah, it makes sense that
some of these might be like the younger millennials too. Because like, yeah, I don't really interact with anybody from Gen Z. So I've never heard most of these. And like the ones I could think of are, I think, millennial stuff. Like I love shouting YOLO when you're about to do something stupid. And I like to talk about yeeting things out of windows and whatnot.
The one that I really think is dumb though is the last one. Understood the assignment. And what it fucking means? It's so useless. So you have to say the exact, like that whole fucking thing instead of saying, oh, he did it well. He understood. He understood the assignment. All these things are so short and, you know, abbreviated, abbreves, except for this one. It's so stupid. I hate it.
Yeah. And that one just reminds me of like Reddit stuff where it's like, oh, here's one of these Reddit phrases. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that one is that specifically, but it's just like, oh, you know, this happened, so somebody's gonna say this exact 5-word phrase here. I remember like not liking the slang of our generation when our generation was like creating it and stuff. Like, I remember like for some reason, like I did not like it when like talking about people chilling, you know, like what are you doing? I'm just chilling, or you know, like now I don't mind it because it's so normal, but like I for some reason I really bristled at that one back in the day.
When a woman was
Yeah,
like, "Hey, let's Netflix and chill," you're like, "Oh, fuck you."
Nope.
I felt like back in the day, like if you watch like that 70s show, which was like insanely popular, like if Ashton Kutcher would say something on the show, it would all of a sudden just take off and people would start using it. Like if you watch like a popular TV show, just or like a movie, like Dude, Where's My Car? And all of a sudden, like, you know, dude had kind of like fallen off a little bit and people didn't use it as much. Suddenly it was back. And it's just people copying each other what they hear.
I do find it amusing though that you admit that, you know, this has happened in every generation ever. Yet you're still like, yeah, but still like
Every generation
this
before me who hated it, they were all right too. Because like I just like cringe if I think about like what is like our language and how are people gonna talk in like 200 years? It's gonna be like that movie, Idiocracy.
Oh, great. Segue challenge. Wait, let's use a slang word. There's got to be a, oh, a sus. I sus that we're running out of steam of this topic. Let's go to another topic
Wait,
that'll
that's not how you use
slap.
that, is it? Isn't it? This shit is sus.
Oh, this okay, this topic is sus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so broad though. I don't mind it, but they use it so broadly. It's overused. I have a niece that says everything's sus, like everything. I'm like, "Hey, you want to go outside?" Oh, sus. Like, sus what? You sussing. All right. Next topic.
All right. What do broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, horseradish, kale, turnips, more all have in common? Not only are they
Green.
closely related, but they all came from the same literal plant that humans have like just modified over the millennia to be all these different things. So my love is for cruciferous vegetables, mostly because they're, I mean, I like to eat them, but they're also just this like triumph of human agriculture and like taking like every like shaping this, you know, this plant in so many different directions to get like every possible use out of it. So like, oh, you know, like I really like to use the root, so we'll create like these giant like, you know, like turnips and stuff, or I really like the flower part of it to eat, so let's like mold that into like broccoli, these like weird little floret things that you can eat, or like horseradish and mustard, like these super like you know, aromatic and flavorful plants, like also came from that. And it's just like remarkable. But I guess it's the same with like dogs. If you think of like there used to be wolves and now there's like chihuahuas and poodles and labradors and everything. So I don't know. But yeah, they're also like some of the most like vegetable-y vegetables. You know, like nobody's gonna be like, oh, broccoli, did you know that's actually like a fruit or something like that? You know, like nobody's gonna try and call those sus.
Wait, John, did you was this always the case, or was this once you changed your eating habits?
I mean, definitely more so when I changed my eating habits, but I mean, when I was a kid, I was super picky and hated like most foods. And then as I grew up, I just kept, you know, actually retrying a lot of things that I thought I didn't like. I'm like, oh, these are actually pretty good.
Oh, I thought like maybe your dad was like, son, you want to eat something that's like eating a dog? What do you mean?
I'm listening.
Son, you want some more chihuahua? They put broccoli on your plate. That's the only way we got him to eat his food, I swear. Oh, sorry to cut you off, John. You were just getting to the end.
I was just getting started, more like it. Another thing that's interesting is that they're like still working on all of these things. So like Brussels sprouts actually taste way less bitter than they did like 20 years ago. So,
and they're like, still terrible.
Disagree, but you're entitled to your opinion. I love Brussels sprouts. There, when we did during like the first year of COVID, before like the vaccinations, we were doing like this food delivery service thing, and I was eating like a pound and a half of Brussels sprouts a week during that time. It was probably like the healthiest I was ever eating, because it was like, oh, we're just getting these boxes of food shipped to us, and if we don't eat it, they're just going to send us more food. So better do it.
It's funny. Just picture your cheeks filled with Brussels sprouts. Oh my god. What about you, Dave? You said any other of these things would you eat? Like, I like broccoli personally. I'll eat that, especially with some veggie dip. Although, does that cancel things out once I dip it in veggie dip?
You still get the nutrients from the vegetables. Those don't go away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like broccoli. Broccoli's good. My personal favorite is cabbage. Like, cabbage is super versatile, and like, I'll use it in a couple different recipes, but you can like get a head of cabbage and just like chop up half of it, and I'll put it in the skillet and kind of cook it down just a little bit. Like, you don't want to overcook it, but just the right amount so it's a little bit tender. And then you can just use that, because if I was doing like a keto diet, like with no carbs, I would just have like my protein and cabbage. And cabbage was great at like using that instead of like a bread. So I could do like a pasta dish or something, put the sauce over the cabbage. It was really good. I like zucchini. Zucchini is really good.
Yeah, not one of these, but
I like strawberries. Is that one of the
zucchinis are technically a fruit anyway, right?
Oh really?
Or are they? Oh my gosh. I can't wait till all these vegetables get to identify on online social platforms. Well, that's awesome. I had no clue about we basically bred them into existence or whatever, or made a variety out of that. That's pretty crazy. Is that the only vegetable we've done? I know we've tinkered with bananas and apples.
I mean, yeah, I think most vegetables are very different from the wild plants that we originally found. But these are unique in just how many different vegetables came from the same original plant. Like, I think like maize was like corn was like originally like more like wheat sized, like really small cobs, really tiny kernels, and they just kind of selectively bred those to make them huge and delicious.
You mentioned how Brussels sprouts have been getting better over the past 20 years. Did you taste that in real time? You're like, honey,
get in here. Also, that's the thing. They say, like, did you hate Brussels sprouts when you were a kid? Well, that's because they objectively tasted bad. And now they taste less bad.
I kind of feel bad for someone who liked Brussels sprouts 20 years ago.
When they were really bitter. Yeah.
I experienced the same thing with energy drinks. Fucking they tinkered with the formula and it just wasn't the same after that. It was the Gronk energy drink. And you know what? Come to think of it, thank God, because who knows how bad my body would be now if I still had that drink.
heard, okay, did we, I don't know if we talked about this before or if I read this somewhere, but I think I heard that like the artificial flavors, like bananas artificial flavor, it was like based off of what a banana tasted like 100 years ago. So now we still use that same artificial flavor and everyone's like, that's not what a banana tastes like. But like, it supposedly was what a banana used to taste like. It's like, I don't know. It's like something I heard and it's like something weird on the internet where I'm like, I don't know if this is real or not.
Shit. Yeah. That'd be cool to figure out. I would like more natural bananas. Although I think I saw a picture where it looks really gross. There's like big black seeds in it and shit like that.
Did you know that all banana trees, like, you know, like when you buy the normal yellow bananas in the store, they're literally like clones of the same plant. So they're, you know, like identical twins, you know, like they're genetically identical to each other, like every single banana. So wow. Like they just like graft the same plant over and over again, I believe. So if there was like some kind of disease that affected that type of banana, like our entire crop would be screwed because there's no genetic diversity in it.
Holy shit. That's,
I never thought of this till now, but like, why is there only one type of banana really? I guess there's like a plantain, which is a little different, but if you get like apples, there's like a 20 different types of apples, or like even grapes. There's a bunch of different types of grapes. But you just, there's one banana.
Yeah, I think that's just because that's what people decided to propagate. I know, like, you can, if you go to like the fancy grocery store, you can get like these little bananas that taste pretty similar, and like red bananas or something. I don't know. And like, yeah, plantains, like you said.
We need to make a banana. That is, you guys ever eat those dried banana chips?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Solid banana made out of that. That'd be great. You would just be gnawing on it like a bone. All right.
I feel like it could be done. Like if it was freeze dried properly or something.
Oh, that'd be awesome. All right. Segue challenge. Fight.
I think this topic has been fully harvested and time to move on to the next.
Yes. Is it I?
It mm-hmm. is.
All right. Let's talk about more food. Let's talk about my hate, which is seafood. Lobsters are gross looking. Okay. They look like giant fucking bugs. They also, I think they smell weird. They taste weird. They're chewy. I didn't like that. I don't like how we fucking steam them alive. That is so unsettling. So it's like I would never eat a lobster. You know, I would never do it. And if you, I mean, why can't we just kill them, like just behead them real quick or something? Like do you guys know why we have to steam them, or is it just a fucking horrible human thing?
Old habits die hard.
Yeah, I'm always willing to accept that it's a horrible human thing.
So I like tuna fish, but I think it doesn't count if it's covered in mayonnaise and shit and it's between my bread. You know what I mean? I don't think it's no longer seafood anymore. I've tried it's not anchovies, but sardines. They come in those little cans. I kind of like those. I've eaten it before. My dad would always have that. But other than that, I never think of eating any kind of seafood, fish in general. You know, I've eaten plenty of, you know, freshwater fish, but we're talking about seafood, motherfucker. And I just don't like it. Sushi count? Isn't all sushi from the ocean, or can it also be from freshwater?
I mean, sushi doesn't have to actually be fish or seafood. Like, it's just kind of the format.
Oh, really?
But typically it's going to be from the ocean, because like eating like freshwater fish, there's going to be more parasites and stuff in it, so it would be way more risky to eat raw.
That's gross, man. All right. Well, see, yeah, it looks gross. It always smelled weird to me. Out of something that I'm like, how would that taste? A shark. Yes. I am kind of curious if that would be a tasty thing, but I know that we fish out of the ocean thousands of sharks a year or something like that. Not even thousands, like maybe more. It's like this unsettling amount of sharks that we take out of the ocean, at least in the some sort of Asian area where they do that a lot for their shit. I don't know. But I just never really felt anything positive for seafood. So yeah. How do you guys feel?
I used to love seafood, actually. Like good scallop, very tasty.
What is a scallop?
I know, some sort of bivalve.
Is
Like a
it looks like a growth or something.
yeah, like they're usually little round medallion kind of things. I don't know. I always liked the flavor of seafood. I agree about lobsters. Like I think I had that like once in my life, and I'm like, that seems horrible. But yeah, like I think like one of the probably the last time I ate an animal on purpose, it was seafood probably.
Shit. What about you, Dave?
I mean, I would say I love seafood because I haven't tried everything, but I love lobster. I think it's great. I don't think it's chewy. I think it's really tender, and they cover it in garlic butter, and it's salty and it's good. I like crab legs are really good. Shrimp are just okay to me. I don't think shrimp are that great. But I like sushi. I don't like all of it because some of it's just like weird textures of raw fish, and it's kind of, but like there's really good sushi and then there's like not so good stuff. I've never had like anchovies or sardines just because they look really gross. So I don't want to, I don't know. This looks unappetizing, so I don't want to try it.
Yeah, I've never
But
liked those because they're like so salty. Like I
yes.
remember like, oh
Did
yeah,
your
look
lip
at,
curl?
yeah, exactly. I remember like getting like a pizza. I'm like, oh, I've always wondered what anchovies on pizza is like. And it was just like eating a block of salt on a slice of pizza.
That's great. Oh, crab rangoon. Does that even count as crab anymore? Like I love crab rangoon. Fuck,
That
I
is
could
great.
really go
It's almost
some.
like always imitation meat, but it's still
Oh
really
my
good.
gosh. Oh my gosh. And then also popcorn shrimp. Again, I don't think that's shrimp anymore
So
with the popcorn shrimp. Yeah.
I always like try to think of like the ethics of eating different things, and I always like seafood is always kind of on the edge for me, like especially like oysters and clams and stuff like that, that I'm not sure if they have like central nervous systems and all that, like are they really experiencing anything and whatnot. I always think like, oh, maybe if for whatever reason like a doctor said like you need to eat meat or you're gonna die, like maybe that something like that would be like a go-to.
You're like, can I eat your clam? You're like, what? Get out of this. Get out of my fucking office, you pervert. But what about fucking Alice in Wonderland? Remember those poor clams? They were lured in by the walrus. They're like, now we can begin the feed. And they're like, feed. I always felt bad for that goddamn clam or oysters or whatever. I wouldn't eat those. Those are, it looks like a mucus, right?
Oysters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I had them once, like deep fried oysters, and it was like a crispy outside and just like a gooey booger on the inside.
Ugh.
It's terrible. I do agree with what you're saying on like the ethical side of it, Like, I eat meat and I love like red meat and steak and anything that comes from a cow. But with like, I've seen a lot of documentaries on like overfishing in the oceans and pollution in the oceans. Like even like the shark thing you were talking about, Vince, where like they'll kill a shark and just chop off the fins for the shark fin soup, and then they'll just throw away the rest of the animal and not even use it. And you know, there's just how they overfish the oceans, and it's really gross. And then there's also like kind of like the factory farms of like the fish, where it's kind of seems gross and disgusting.
And like what they feed them, and like, was there something with like farmed salmon that like they're not eating whatever plankton, or I don't even know what it is that they would normally eat that would make them turn pink, so they have to like dye the meat or dye the food that they're giving to the salmon or something like that, so they get their pink color again.
I might be totally off, but I thought salmon were freshwater, no?
They're a weird one. So they spawn in like a freshwater river, and then they swim out to the ocean. And then they live most of their lives, and then they get pregnant, and that's, you know, like you hear the salmon swimming upstream. That's like them getting back to their home freshwater river where they were born to pass on the next generation.
And then when they get back to that fucking freshwater area to lay their eggs, they're so battered and beaten from the journey that they die right there.
Yeah, if they don't get picked off by like a bear or something on the way.
Exactly. I always wanted to take a salmon and help him up the river so that he'll, in my eyes, probably live twice as long.
You heard of like these salmon cannons?
No.
They like there's like places where the water doesn't run, like there's not as much water, maybe due to like hydroelectric dams and stuff. So there's not enough water for the salmon to swim. So they'll like they have like I don't know what if they're like baseball pitcher things or something like that. I don't remember the mechanism, but they like basically like sling the fish up to the next part of the river so they can keep going.
Life finds a way. Wow. That's great. Segue challenge.
Should we swim upstream to our next topic?
Okay. Stream of conscious.
Yes.
Conscience. Wait. Who's next? I don't even know who's next. Dave?
Dave?
Sure. I don't know what my topic is.
I, of course, will help you. Reality TV, you're indifferent to it. And go.
Oh yeah. Okay. Like I watch I would say a low amount of reality TV. Like I like MTV's The Challenge, and they have a couple like spin-off like Challenge with All
Famously.
Stars.
Yes.
And I like Survivor a lot. I think Survivor's a really good reality TV show. And like those are the two main ones I watch. So like I watch it a little bit, but anytime like you go deeper into the ocean of reality TV. And there's like so much stuff on like Netflix, like Love is Blind. I watched a season of that. It's really like terrible television. And then there's like Love on the Spectrum, which is kind of interesting, but also kind of weird. And Vince, you might enjoy that because you work with people on the spectrum. And it's some
Right.
of it's like, I don't know. I'm gonna tell you is like a little tidbit from like an episode I watched, and you can like, you know, tell me if I'm being offensive or not. But like the girl, like they set up two people who are on the spectrum on a date,
The
and then the
voice.
cameras are just there.
Oh yeah, he doesn't do voices. Sorry, never mind.
And you just see their interaction, and they'll just talk one-on-one about how they think the date went when the other afterwards. And like the girl's talking about like, you know, I feel like I have really high standards, which she does. She has super high standards. And like he just doesn't have enough goals in life. And he, I want someone with a good job who wants to be very successful. And like in my head, I'm like, you're putting way too many expectations on this guy. Like, and especially coming from a girl who lives with her parents, like, come on, like, what do you expect out of this guy? Like, I don't know. It's just, it's very interesting, and it's kind of funny sometimes for the wrong reasons, but sometimes just because it's like they're really wholesome people. I don't know. It's a weird reality TV show. It's not necessarily bad like some of the other ones, because there's ones like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette that are kind of just like gross.
You used to watch that show, weren't you? Like, you were a fan one time.
I watched a season. Yeah, I watched the whole season and I liked it a lot. But it was like, I can't do this anymore. It was like, okay, this is, because I don't know, it's kind of just a formula. It's a lot like Survivor, where it's the same thing every season. The only thing that changes is the cast. And you know, it's like the season I saw, I thought it was really good, but I was like, I really don't, can't imagine there being a better season. I'm like, the guy was kind of a sleazeball, but really charming. And he made the girls love him, but he was also an asshole and pissed off some of the girls. Okay. So it was kind of the best of both worlds. But like I guess my main point about reality TV is that I like it, but I'm indifferent to it because it's kind of like, it's the fast food of television, where it sounds really good. It's like Taco Bell, but then you eat Taco Bell and then you just feel like empty inside and you feel gross afterwards. That's reality TV. So it's like, I can't make myself love it. It's just, it's too gross to love, but I do kind of like it.
You chose wrong and comparing it to Taco Bell. I'm all for Taco Bell. Well, let's break off a little piece of the other challenge that we do, Dave, Battle of the Challenges podcast. And what separates that from other shows is the creativity in changing it up every season. The format is never the same, you know? That attracted me to that show. But then it's now like to its detriment that they change it up, you know, where it's like you had a perfectly good idea here. And then your sequel, they're like, oh, but we put that on its head. And after a while, you're just seeing them reacting to old ideas. There's nothing new anymore. They're just putting a twist on old stuff. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that show. But yeah.
Yeah, I really like the challenge for like the sporting competition of it all, where it's just like people competing, doing weird different things. But yeah, the issue is like the cast can be really bad, or they just add so many twists and turns to the rules of the game that it is to its own detriment, like you said. It's, I don't know, like when it's more like a sporting event with like defined rules and they don't switch it up, I feel like I enjoy that more, because then the only variable is like the cast. Like, do I like the people on the show or do I dislike them?
Oh yeah.
So I've mostly avoided watching the vast majority of types of reality shows. Like, I've never watched a single singing or talent show. I've never watched any of the dating ones. However, I do love Alone. That's the where they get dropped off in like the wilderness, and like they just have like their own camera gear and stuff. Like, there's nobody with them, so they have to set up all their own shots and everything. And they're allowed to bring, I don't know, 8 or 10 items of their choosing along, and that's all they have. And like in the earlier seasons, there was, I don't know, like, let's say 8 people put out there and they didn't know, like, basically whoever was out there the longest won the money, but they had no idea the status of anybody else. So, you know, you don't know if like there's one other person left out there, or, you know, if you're just getting started, basically. That was really interesting.
Yeah, that, I love that show.
Yeah.
For the 10 things to bring, I would have brought 10 seasons of Naked and Afraid. Perhaps they have some advice in these shows.
And then the other type that I've watched a ton of are like The Iron Chef and Chopped. Like, yeah. My wife and I have watched so many hours and hours and hours of those. Just like, all right, you have this surprise ingredient or this basket of surprise ingredients, go make something awesome out of it. And I always like try to think of what I would make, and I never come up with anything. And I'm always like surprised by what they come up with.
You always want to make something into a reduction sauce. Yeah, Chopped was awesome. I enjoyed that show a lot.
Is awesome, man. Still going.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm trying to think of like a show that I just detested. And I guess I don't watch a lot. So I haven't really been really pissed off about something. Oh, there was... you guys ever hear of Bad Girls Club?
Nope.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I've heard of it, but I have no idea what it is.
So they're all hot, but they're bitches. And like all they do is drink and fight and fuck. And like,
is it H-A-W-T hot?
Yes, hot and thick with two C's. Yeah, it's it after a while, you're like, they are attractive. And most people on those shows are going to be, but then you have to kind of question, like, what am I really watching here? Like, that's a person kind of doing some bad shit to her body and stuff like that. And I don't know, but there's the straight up lying of reality shows where people get bad edits and it fucking, you know, affects their everyday life. 'Cause now they're labeled the dumb whore or the stupid jock or something like that, you know? Or the black guy, you know, they're like, hey, but like, yeah, I feel bad for that. I love the challenge. I would never go on it though, because I would just, I don't know. I don't think I would like how vapid everyone is and stuff and doing everything for camera time, you know? Yeah. What about you guys? Would you guys do a reality show? They're like, we're going to follow a few Goldilocks. Can we change the title?
Well, if they ask that, I'm out for sure.
We're like, we're going to follow you guys for, I don't know, a month. And we're going to get paid substantially, gentlemen. Would you do that? Or would you be like, no, I am not part of this shit?
I wouldn't care for that necessarily, but I guess, you know, if you two or whoever else wanted to do it that bad, I could be persuaded, perhaps.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't like it, but there's definitely a number, and if you exceed that number, I will do it. Like, maybe I'll do it. Like, I would prefer
like a three figure salary.
Oh yeah. Like, if it was like something like Survivor, where it's like, oh, we're going to fly you to Fiji and go to an island. Like, okay. Like, I don't care if I get voted off first. Like, if I get to, you know, just go there for, you know, for like,
I get to ride on an airplane.
Yeah.
So you guys wouldn't be worried about bad edits, you know, besmirching your character.
Not too much, because I feel like I'm more comfortable being around cameras now than I was like when I was like 20. Like, no, I definitely wouldn't be able to do it, but now I feel comfortable enough where I could do it.
I'm already afraid of bad edits being on this show.
It's all self-inflicted though. I don't edit anything. Oh my gosh.
I did want to bring back to, you mentioned the show Alone. I love that show. It's really good. And my favorite part about it is the first episode or first two episodes when they introduce everybody, they're all like super confident.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, I'm going to kill this. I do this. And I chop wood and I can start a fire with two sticks. And I'm a hunter and a fisherman. And they have so much confidence in themselves. And then they drop them off in the middle of Canada somewhere. And then, like, you can just watch them as time goes on over the first 2 days, 3 days being stuck in the woods. they just, all their confidence is gone. They realize that they suck at like everything. They can barely build a shelter. They're starving. So the, like, the hunger starts to get a, like, starts to work away at them, killing their confidence, killing their mood. They're like, if you're starving, you're not happy. You're not in a good mood. Like, you're always frustrated. And they're like alone by themselves and they're recording themselves. They know they have a camera on themselves and they're still having freakouts and meltdowns and throwing stuff at the ground and like talking to themselves and acting all crazy. And just to see like this, the morphing of their personalities over like the first like week, it's super fascinating because it just crushes like who they are as a person. It's amazing.
And I'm also convinced that Vancouver Island or whatever that is the worst place on earth from that show. It's just like, you know, 20 hours of rain every single day. It seems like everything's always wet. And yeah, it just seems horrible.
Yeah, and they stick them there show? And they're like, oh, there's a giant lake you can fish. But the problem is like, not all lakes are designed to like fish from the shore. Because that lake, it's such a steep drop off where like all the fish are like trout and they're down like 100 feet. Like, good luck getting those fish to bite.
I would not go on that show. Like, I always,
me neither.
I do like to think about it. Like, you know, like I would be interested in just like, you know, solo camping and stuff, but obviously being allowed to bring all the gear that I want to bring and not being limited in that way. And also having like, well, I brought enough supplies for X days and now I'm going home. And the, I forgot what I was going to say.
Can you just straight up quit?
Is yes. there any,
okay. But yeah. Okay. So you have a live stream to producers then?
No. They come like for weekly health checks or something.
Weekly. Oh my gosh. That would suck. Yeah. If you were like, okay, I'm done. Now I got to wait 6 more days. Like they just took off.
Wait, actually, like, now that I think about it, they do have a radio, don't they? So that, yeah, they can radio back if they want to leave, but it's still like, it's going to be like hours at least to get out. But yeah. And then I was thinking with the health checks, like you could be forced to leave. Like, hey man, you're losing too much weight. Your gosh. Organs are gonna fail or whatever. That
I'd be like, I'm so hot though. Just like, give me one more day.
Oh, I remember what I was gonna say. Like, you see these people, it like has really put like food into perspective for me. Like, they've gone like 3 days and all they've eaten is like seaweed that they've fished out of the tidal ponds or whatever. I'm like, all right, I guess I can handle if I have like one meal that isn't something I like.
Thank you, Alone, for opening John's eyes.
Yeah. I guess I can handle it if, you know, I don't get to eat lunch until 2 o'clock or something because I have work meeting. I guess I can handle that.
Oh my gosh. Segue challenge.
All right, should we move to an alternate reality?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Go ahead, John.
All right. I hate it when somebody tells you to do something that you were just about to do. Like, I've hated it my whole life. Like, you know, like you're a kid and like you literally like, you know, like get up to like, you know, pick up your toys or something. And then your mom's like, yeah, go pick up those toys. Like, okay, I was going to, but now I 100% do not want to do that. Just because like, if I do it, you think I'm just doing it because you told me to do it. And I was going to do it anyway, but now I don't want to. And like, you know, all these years later, I still have that like one rebellious bone in my body where it's just like, you know, at work or something, like even like your boss tells you to do something, like, well, yeah, I was going to, but now I don't.
You tell them out loud.
I mean, my boss now, yeah, I'll say that.
Does this happen with the GPS? You're like, damn it, I was going to take that fucking right.
Yeah, not anymore. Going straight now. How do you like that?
You're a dead end.
Do either of you have that same instinct to bristle at that, or is that just me?
I'm sure. Same thing. Mom would say, do that before you're about to do it. But I think, like, if dad did it, he was doing it to kind of, like, you know, kind of poke at you. He knew that was being obnoxious. Like, you were going to do that anyways, you know. But that's just him giving you crap. I think mom might have did it. Maybe not on purpose, but.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm not even saying it's on purpose. Like, it's completely, like, innocent on their part, probably. Like, oh, yeah, they just want you to do that thing.
Oh, gosh. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, it's like I'm newly married, so.
Say no more.
So it's like she doesn't like my wife doesn't like tell me to do things often. And it's so like we're generally pretty good. But like maybe like once every 2 months or something, I'll be watching TV or whatever. Like we'll be done eating lunch and it's like a Saturday. And then I get up and then I'm like, I'm taking dishes or something. And then I'm like walking over to the other room to like grab laundry because I'm going to start doing laundry. And Brooke will just be like, hey, can you start some laundry and do your stuff so I can do mine afterwards? And I'm just like, that's what I was going to do. But now that you told me,
and she's like,
I don't want to do it.
Like, and she's like, uh-huh, sure you were.
Yeah, so I'm like, I swear. I'm like, that's why I was walking that way. I was going to get my laundry basket. Like, I swear I was going to do it. Or, you know, if whatever it is, if it's dishes or whatever, it's like, I was going to do it. Like, I'm getting there. It's on my list of things to do.
Honeymoon phase is over. She's like, Dave, you say that every time now. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it is obnoxious. I'm trying to think more recently. Oh my god, I had these horrible coworkers who were not my friends, and they would get this power trip at shift change. They're like, so you got to do this, and basically everything I do every fucking time, but they're telling me to do it. And even if you say, yeah, I get that, I know, they still are going to go over what you have to do because it's a power trip. It's telling another human being what they have to do, even though they're going to do it. That is pretty annoying.
It sure is.
Yeah. I have something that's like kind of similar, but it's when I'm at work and I'm like telling someone like, okay, I need you to roll on your side. And they like question me like, are you sure you want me to do this? And I'm like, yeah, that's why I literally just told you to do that. Like, you have to roll on your side. Well, can't you just do it this way? I'm like, no, there's only one way to do it. And I'm telling you how to do it.
Was that Brooke as well? I need you to move on to your side. Are you sure? Did you do the laundry? I don't think I will be going on my side. Not until you do the laundry.
No, this is like with x-ray. So like if you're doing an x-ray, there's certain principles of x-ray. If you're taking an x-ray of a body part, you're getting a two-dimensional picture of a 3D object. So you must get two different perspectives of that object. You must get a straight on view, and then you must get a lateral view. So you have to turn it like 90 degrees. Yes, exactly. You need two different perspectives. So it's like there's only one way to do this, and like you gotta turn on your side.
Yeah, I always love when you ask someone to do something and they suggest like an alternative. And you're like, no, like, can you just do the thing that I asked? Like, that's the one I wanted.
Have you guys ever done that thing to piss someone off? Like, oh, make sure to do that. No, right?
Never. Yeah. Not even once.
Yeah, we're all too similar.
I'm sure I've done it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go.
Just with like, if I'm in the kitchen with my wife and we're like cooking dinner, like it's kind of like teamwork where you're like, hey, do you want to do this next, you know, and get that ready? And then it's like, yeah, I was just about to take that out of the fridge. Like, don't worry, I got it. It's like, I wasn't trying to like boss you around. Like,
it's like holding an onion and a knife and you're like, hey, why don't you chop that onion?
And then cry from that onion. I was going to do that anyways. Oh my gosh. All right. Should we segue
challenge? Why don't you suggest a segue challenge?
Oh my God. Well, no. Oh my God. What would be a segue challenge for that? It's been done. All right. New topic. Is it you, John?
That was me.
That was you? Oh, not sure. Okay. Oops. What do we got here? Oh, I got my love. I love the Beatles White Album, guys. I know it's divisive amongst fans. I think if there ever was an album that was like that, I think it's this one. It's their double album, and this is a lot of reasons why this thing stands out to me. So this is after their Sgt. Pepper's album, which was basically a concept album, where everything was like united, and you know, even the album cover and everything was thought out as like one album. And then they won Best Album of the Year at the Grammys. So it was just this huge accomplishment. But then their manager died shortly afterwards, and that was basically their leader in a way, in a lot of ways, you know, one of their parent like roles. And then they had a bad turnout in India where they tried to go for like meditation and stuff, and it just wasn't the best thing for them. So they were kind of not really getting along, and they all had these songs on them, and they're like, well, looks like we got a double album on our hands. There's just a lot of shit. Why not just go for it? And even though they were getting along and they were recording like three different studios going on at once, I still love the sound of this. I think it's fine that some Beatles aren't on every song, because when they appear, you definitely feel their presence and stuff. But the one of the big things about this album is, you know, the album art right here. Got it. This was when John was talking about...
That's a fantastic white square you've got there.
Yes. John mentioned the record store, and I was like, I've been meaning to do that for such a long time. This is also tying up with delaying stuff, you know, putting things off. So I bought this. It's one of my favorite ones. And it's the dynamics of sound as well. It's starting off huge with Back of the USSR. Then the next song is a gentle, folksy, little pretty thing in Dear Prudence. And then in Birthday, it's all about the positivity of life and celebration. And then the next song is Your Blues, where he's like, I want to die. You know, I just love that the dynamics of sounds. And then overall, they have a host of different genres in this, and that's what makes it feel so creatively free. I love that they've loved this, you know, all these different instruments. I wrote down, it starts off with a parody song where they're kind of, they're parodying the Beach Boys, which is fun. They have a self-referencing song with Glass Onion, where they're talking about like, oh, Fool on the Hill, remember that song, you know? And you know, fans were like, well, what are you saying, John Lennon? They're all connected and shit. They have a ska
Paul
song.
Paul is dead?
Yeah. Paul's like, I'm dead? I'm dead. ska with Obla Dee Obla Da. I would say comfortably that's ska. Would you agree, John?
I never thought about it.
It sounds Jamaican to me in a way. Like, that kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely like a Caribbean vibe to it for sure.
Yeah. Sing-along song, country song, Baroque instruments, blues, proto-metal. I consider Helter Skelter fucking metal.
I consider I love it more that song. I think it's more punk than metal.
Oh, is it? Oh, sweet.
Well, personally, that's I was actually going to bring that up before you said anything, but
oh my god,
that it's like punk before punk was even a genre.
Well, that's fine too. I just like it just sounded so different, and yeah. it's so heavy and cool. Then there's avant-garde stuff with Revolution 9, which I like all these songs. The only one that I'm close to skipping every time is Honey Pie, just
yeah,
because.
I was gonna say that too.
Really? Because it's just such an old-timey song, like from what, the 30s, maybe, I want to say. And then even within that song, it goes even further back in time with the crackly, like, now she's hit the big time. You know, you're like, whoa, this is an old ass song. But I love this thing. I could go on into actual songs, but I want to know what you guys think about it.
It's a love for me, but I wouldn't say it's my favorite of their albums. Like even songs like Piggies, I don't know if I need to like listen to every time I'm gonna listen to the album. Like
that's what I was gonna bring up. That's my least favorite song. I always skip it.
Yeah. Like you could make a flawless single
album. Oh, here we go.
No, I'm not gonna like do a listing or anything, but I just like I don't know that these songs all need to be on it, and you could have made a you know a tighter product. But I do agree with you that the variety of genre and tone and everything is one thing that makes it fun to listen to.
What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like there's a few too many songs that they could have cut some stuff out, like Piggies, especially yeah. Because that Piggies has Blackbird before it, which is an amazing song, and then it has Rocky Raccoon, which is like the total opposite type of song, and I love both of those songs, but then it's sandwiched with Piggies, which is I hate. So it's just like, but it has like a huge contrast, like you were saying, of like different styles of music. And there's like Happiness Is a Warm Gun, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, like those are amazing songs. Helter Skelter, which you mentioned, is one of my favorites.
You mentioned While My Guitar Gently Weeps. I always think of have you guys seen the induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame video with Prince?
I have,
where I can't remember who's all on the stage playing that song, but Prince comes out and he just completely like steals the spotlight, and like just you know the way he plays the song and everything is just amazing. Like I love that video.
That song is also a first overall where they have a guest musician on a song. I think that's their first, and that's Eric Clapton and George Harrison. Maybe he shouldn't have let him in his life. Later, take his wife away from him, but let's not focus on that. Go ahead, Dave.
I just kind of, my mind went blank there because I was thinking about
as blank as this
George
cover.
Harrison and Eric Clapton's wife, and trying to remember what exactly happened with that.
So, Vince, do you also like the messages they were sending to the Manson family?
Commit
all the atrocities?
I fucking hate that. You know, that really kind of, it made me not listen to Helter Skelter before I even listened to it, just because of that connection. And Piggies, Dave. But upon listen, I'm like, I fucking love Helter Skelter. I do enjoy Piggies. Just because it's got that Baroque music while he's like, oh, the pigs will eat themselves like with bacon and on plates and shit like that. It is weird, though. That's another thing that's cool about this fucking album is there are really creepy parts in it. Like Wild Honey Pie is unsettling to me, but I love it. Long, Long, Long might be my favorite George Harrison song, even though we have... My Guitar Gently Weeps. But Helter Skelter, though, one more thing with that. I love that this was from Paul reading a review of a Who song. It's either that or Roger, whoever, Pete Townsend. He's like, oh, we got the greatest song ever. It's Dirty. And he just described all these words. And Paul listens to the song. He's like, that's not what it is. That's not matching what I have in my head. So he's just like, let's do that song. And I love that. And
oh, George, wow, I never heard that before.
Yeah. And like George and John are like, it's just, you know, it's just noise. like they created such an awesome song, but they were both like, it's just a bunch of fucking noise, man. Whatever, Paul. so many more songs to talk about. Like fucking Ringo in Good Night. It's such a good, sweet performance and all the music behind it. It's such a great way to end. Oh, it's so nice. Lulls you to sleep.
Yeah. That's my favorite part about like listening to the Beatles is just listening to a song like that I've never heard and being like, okay, who sings this? All right, this is John singing it. Okay. And then I'm like listening, and then I'm like, all right, this is kind of a John song. And then all of a sudden, like Paul starts to sing, and I'm like, oh, this is Paul's contribution. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, okay, who's doing what here? You know? And then like, whose song was this? And then you can tell like, oh, then Paul jumped in and he did this portion of the song. And then it goes back to like John. So you're like in your head, you're deconstructing the song and like who did what and like whose origin was it? And like, what would it have sounded like without the other person? It's, I don't know. It's always fascinating to listen to some of their songs.
Well, yeah, for sure. Speaking of the tensions during the album, this is where Ringo quit. And he's actually not on, like, I think it's like two or three songs he's not on, and it's Paul drumming for him. Back in the USSR, Dear Prudence and Mother Nature's Son. That's Paul on drums. Yeah. Ringo wanted out.
And wasn't it like a self-deprecating thing, though, with him?
Not as good as the
rest of them.
Oh, yeah. All right, yeah. I feel like you guys are all friends and I'm the odd one out, and everyone's like, oh, I felt the same.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, from that. That's what it was, yeah.
And Ringo, you know, when discussing the White album, was like, it should have been two different albums, the White and the Whiter album.
I know we talked about that documentary already, but I just love Ringo in it. He's just like up on the drum stage doing his thing and not involved in any of the drama or anything.
Yeah, so imagine how bad it was for him to be like, I'm fucking fuck this. You know. any favorites of this? I gotta say Julia. I love Julia. That's the end of this first disc. And it's always just breathtaking to me. It's haunting. It's about his mom, and his mom passed away, but also the lyrics kind of bleed into Yoko as well, because she is introduced into the Beatles in this album. She's got some vocal stuff in here as well. It's crazy.
Yeah, I haven't listened to this album in a long time, but as I was looking through the track listing, when I saw Julia, I was like, oh, I know I like that one. I'm like, I can barely like hear the music in my head, but I know I want to re-listen to it because I know that song, and I know something that it's good.
Something's on a different album, you poser.
And Back to the USSR is definitely like a super strong start to it. I don't know. I think While My Guitar Gently Weeps might be my favorite song. But I love Helter Skelter.
Yeah. You ever notice the little squeaky toy in Helter Skelter towards the end? And Paul just laughs. I don't know. I imagine John had a little squeaky toy. It's like, oh my God. And then Helter Skelter has the fake ending where like they fade out and then it comes back. The classic line of, I got blisters on my fingers. Fucking great. I can keep going on, but we could move on. Or is this our last topic?
This is.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. We could end it, but like I said, I have plenty of shit to talk about. Oh, Don't Pass Me By. Ringo wrote his first fucking song guys. And I like it. It's cutesy, but it's also disturbing because his lover is late because she was in a car crash and she burned her hair off. And yeah, he's like, I don't care as long as you're safe and stuff. Just don't leave me and shit. It's a really nice song.
Yeah,
I could go song by song, guys, is what I'm getting at. But I won't. Oh, how do you guys feel about Revolution Number 9 real quick to end it all?
I mean, I don't skip it, I guess. You know, if I'm listening to the album, I listen to it.
All right.
That's my endorsement.
At first, I thought it was really cool and I liked it. But then after like repeated listens, I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I'll skip it.
Which one? This one or Piggies? Which is, what would you listen to on repeat for 24 hours? Well,
I would probably listen to Revolution Number 9 over Piggies.
Dude, I'm going to crank Piggies tonight. Gross. In honor of you. Listen to the song. All right.
Well, Revolution 1. Isn't there like the thing about, so you say you want a revolution and, oh, you can count me out in like that thing?
Yeah, because, well, I like the original or the revolution without the number, the single.
Oh,
that's really awesome. But this one is the slower, I don't know, acoustic doo-wop-y one.
Right.
I still really enjoy it. But it is very bizarre that he included that in. I was like, what? What does that mean? But I think they like to do a lot of ambiguousness with, like, Paul is like, you know, oh, she shaved her legs and he was a she. No, that's the wrong song. But, like, what's the one song? Oh, Get Back, where he's like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of it.
She said she was a woman, but she was another man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Oh, God. All right. Should we end? Like, subscribe, comment. This was a Few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud,
John Emmett,
and David Lauer.